welcome to Buck Flicks. This is a movie podcast about movies from the dollar store. Thus the name Buck Flicks. Sometimes we pay more than a buck for these flicks. Sometimes we pay upwards of $1.29. And what Buck Flicks is, it's basically like a service where you can go to our site, which is buckflicks.tk, and go and browse through our catalog of nearly 300 movies. I think last count we were at 299, so we're all set up for the 300th movie celebration that will happen this month. A lot of good things going on there. But you go to buckflicks.tk, you pick out your movie. We send it to you for a nominal fee. This month we have a special. All movies produced prior to 1980 are 50 cents.
Oh, wow.
All movies produced 1950 and prior are only 10 cents.
Wow.
So sign up, fill up your shopping cart, and we'll send you the movies, and you can watch them to your heart's content. You know, feel free to follow along with past podcasts. This is our 8th episode of the Buck Flicks podcast. My name is Travis. I'm in Albany, New York.
And I'm Jason in Brooklyn.
And we're just here. We're your guides through these delightful movies. Tonight we are going to be, we'll just be chatting a little bit, and then we'll be talking about Hollywood Cop. The last episode we had a couple of other folks join us, Jason and Mike, and I had convinced them to watch the movie. Tonight's movie, Hollywood Cop, and I sent them both a copy. They watched it. They're ready to review the movie on the podcast. And I ended up rescheduling on them about, I don't know, probably over 10 times. So they finally decided to call it quits. So we'll get you next time, guys. A new movie is coming out to you guys sometime within the next week, if I don't manage to also cancel that.
What's the new movie? You already decided?
Yeah, it's what comes around. It's a movie starring Jerry Reed.
Okay.
And some other guy. It's I wasn't too sure what it was about. At first, looking at the cover, I thought it was a drama, but it's apparently about, it's a comedy about two brothers that just don't get along very well, and a lot of comic relief. But as far as the plot goes, I'm not sure that I only saw a trailer. It was a trailer that was recorded on a video camera through a tube television.
Oh, wow.
It's on YouTube, so I'll post it up on our blog, which is buckflicks.blogspot.com. There you can get all kinds of good information about our new releases and things like that. So, and you can contact us through that. Follow us on Twitter. We've set up a Facebook page too.
Oh,
so
wow.
you can like us on Facebook too. Took us a while, but we decided, you know, that seems to be what a lot of the people are using these days is Facebook. So we decided that we would open up a Facebook page and, you know, let people come and see what we're all about. So you can find us pretty much anywhere. Any social media site, we try to set up an account and not update it for weeks at a time, and then suddenly update it. So that's a lot of fun.
That's good. Do you apologize and say, oh, sorry, we haven't updated in a while? It's been a while.
Well, we try not to apologize because Good. I mean, who are we really apologizing to?
Good. I'm glad. I think I see what comes around over here. Is this the substance abusing country singer and his brother?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. I'm very excited. Next week.
Yeah. So I guess you see why I thought that was a drama. Substance abusing. But
you would think.
Yeah. If you watch the trailer on YouTube, it's definitely played as a comedy. And
it's a comedy.
It's got that wacky voice in the trailer.
I don't know if you know this, but Will Oldham is in that movie. He's listed in the cast, Will Oldham. That's pretty nuts.
I wonder if it's the same well, Will Oldham.
I click this on it and it says he's had a major recording career under numerous names: Palace, Palace Music, Palace Brothers, Palace Songs.
Is this the same movie from 1980 something?
1985.
Yeah. Well, he's been in other movies, so
crazy. Yeah. I mean, I never heard of this movie. I know he was in like Baby Jessica, Stuck in the Well Story. I know he was in that movie, and then Matawan. But this looks like it's his first film. That's crazy.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's great. And now maybe I'll send a copy down to Brett too.
Exciting stuff.
He's living down in Louisville, and he said he's met Will Oldham a couple times.
Wow,
I guess he lives down there, but.
Oh, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Very exciting. it shouldn't be. I mean, Buck Flicks, you know, I constantly have that feeling with these films.
Yeah.
The shocking surprise of insanity.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I want to do and I probably will. I probably will between this episode and the next episode, which who knows when that will be. May is going to be pretty crazy for as far as scheduling for myself anyway. And, I want to just put just a show of all trailers. And, I've picked up a lot of soundtracks. Thrift stores, garage sales, and record stores just for a dollar, and just have that be the whole show.
Oh, wow. So that's a great idea.
Might stick something like that out there.
That's a great idea. It wasn't part of Record Store Day, but it was right around the same time, like maybe a week after or so. This label in, I want to say Germany or maybe England, re-released like all these John Carpenter soundtracks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they released like Escape from New York, They Live, Halloween 2, and they all have like really great like split color vinyl and like posters inside, and it's all remastered. And I had to pick up They Live because I love that movie, and I don't think I've ever listened to the soundtrack, and I was like, oh, this will be great to like throw on and just turn the lights out.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of cool that he does all his own soundtracks, or he did. Amazing. I don't know if he still does, but
yeah, totally.
Halloween 3 is one of my favorite soundtracks. I mean, it's, you know, it's totally a known soundtrack, but I think it's great.
That's awesome.
I have a copy of that on MP3. I don't have any original. I don't think I have any original John Carpenter vinyl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's all like kind of crazy and on eBay, and that's why I was like sort of psyched that this kind of like import label was putting this stuff out. I don't know what other things. I'll send you a link or something. It was crazy that they put these.
Yeah.
Altogether, but I was like, oh, I mean, they still had some copies left, so I just ordered it from some record store upstate. But I haven't even opened it yet. It's like sitting here. I can't wait to throw that on some night.
Yeah. So did you go out to Record Store Day, out to the in line and everything?
Well, yeah, sort of. I found where I moved now. There's it's a little bit further out in Brooklyn, and I found this one record store closer to further away from everything else, but kind of like closer where we live now. And every time it's mostly like a coffee shop. It's called Black Gold and they have records. Like I've always seen the crates of records, but I sort of never went in there because I figured, oh, it's probably just, you know, dollar records. And I mean, I have all of my dollar needs are filled by Buck Flicks. I'm not about to go and just, you know, dabble in anybody else's dollar menu.
Yeah.
So I sort of never went in there. And then I think maybe I even wanted some coffee one day. So we went in there and I was like, oh, let's take a look. And they had, I mean, somebody is a really serious record collector in that place because it seems to be all like really great stuff that's always switching over and they don't even really have like, you know, a cheap section. So I was really shocked that like all the used stuff was really great, like interesting, crazy metal or indie stuff that I've never seen anywhere else. So they said they were doing something for Record Store Day. So I was like, okay, this has to be, because when I was in Greenpoint and Williamsburg, those record stores, there's lines like starting at like 6 a.m. and everyone just ran in and like, you know, it was like a madhouse of like just grabbing shit and bringing it to the counter. And I was like, I am not, it just, I don't want to deal with that at all. So this place, I said, all right, I'm going to show up like, right. They're supposed to open at 10. I was like, I can make it there by 10. And there were like two other people there. So it was perfect.
Oh, that's awesome.
And my friend Darren in Pittsburgh, who I put out a split 7-inch with, mm-hmm. he was looking for this box set, this 7-inch box set, and they happened to have it. And I texted him, and he was like, "Oh yeah, they don't have it here." And then I wanted this this Steve Malcolmus record where he covers a whole Can album.
Oh yeah,
like live somewhere. Oh, so I awesome. Was like. So I was like, oh my God, if you see that, pick it up. So we each bought each other's stuff and then like, you know, I mailed it to him and he mailed me that Can record. So it worked out perfect because that's all I really wanted was because I was like, I really want to hear, like, I love Can and I think that him covering the whole record, like every track would be amazing.
Yeah.
So I had to get that and hear it just because I knew I'd never, ever find that anywhere else. So that was it. So that worked out good. It was like a good like trade and this record store happened to have this crazy box set of 7-inches that he wanted. So that's so it worked. Cool. Yeah, it worked out.
Yeah,
and didn't spend more than like a half hour there. So
perfect. Yeah. Yeah. And Albany has I think one record store that I know of that sells new vinyl. I've never been there, but I guess that was probably the only place here that celebrated any sort of record store day. I mean, there is another record store that's been around a long time, but I don't know that they do anything specifically for record store day. But I'm probably gonna go to comic book day or whatever that free comic day.
Okay,
there's a comic book store up the street. I'll take my son.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We took him last year, but he was, it was so fucking packed. I mean, it was like, there were so many people there and it was just like, he's up to everybody's knees. Like it's all adults, you know, which, you know, fine. But, yeah, it wasn't a day to bring a little, 3-year-old, but, we'll see. We'll
get right. He's going to appreciate that, though. You guys live down the street. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's not within walk. I guess it's within walking distance. But
oh man, I remember riding my bike to the comic book store with my friend, but only when my mom drove me to my friend's house in Rochester.
Yeah,
we'd be able to like ride bikes to the comic book store, and I would be like so excited and just buy comics and go back to his house and read them.
Yeah, that was the greatest. When I was in, I used to live in Liverpool, New York, and there was a comic book store that opened there called Captain Comics, and we just hung out there all the time. Like, it was just, comics and baseball cards. That was my life. And Fangoria magazine at the 7-Eleven. No, it was a Stop and Go. A Stop and Go. I would buy the Fangoria magazines, go get the comics. I think I read Punisher, Rogue Trooper, and Judge Dredd or something like that. And then I would, you know, see if I could sell my Don Mattingly card or something.
Yeah, this place definitely had baseball cards, and that was like, I had no idea of baseball or cards or anything. That was like a foreign world. But
yeah,
but comics, it was like they. I remember I just got the craziest stuff there. Like there was like it must have been around the time of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because I got this thing called Hamster Vice that was like,
oh yeah, they had that at Captain Comics.
I had this Hamster Vice and all these crazy, and it was like in 3D, so you had 3D glasses.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Mars Attacks, the little Mars Attacks comics?
Oh,
that was around the same time. They were it was before the movie came out. They were mini comics. It was like a series of five or something of them. I don't know. I have one kicking around somewhere, but I still have a little box of my comics from that time. Yep. Time period.
Yeah, there was this thing called like the New Universe, which was, oh my God, it was like all kinds of titles. And I forget who put it out, but it was supposedly like, you know, they were starting from scratch, like X-Men and all these type of like mutant characters. Mm-hmm. And it was called New Universe, I guess. And I, of course, I had to get like all of them. And multiple copies that some I wouldn't read, you know,
yeah.
Just leave them in. It's so stupid. But I was like obsessed with these, and we would go and trade issues. And so, man, that's going to be amazing for your kids to have that down the street. That is so great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not a spot where I would want him.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. like riding by himself, but mm-hmm. someplace, I go with him. There's
awesome.
Stuff there for me too, I guess.
There's this place that me and my brother have walked by that we have to go. It's in Park Slope, and it's, I don't even know what it's called. It's like Gaming Center or something. And we're walking by, my brother's like, you gotta check this place out. And it's all like board game, like Dungeons and Dragons and board games in the window, and there's just tables, and it's just an empty storefront with tables, and like, I guess people meet there and just play Dungeons and Dragons or whatever, like those Axis and Allies, like those huge board games.
Yeah.
On forever.
Yeah, there's a place like that here called Zombie Planet.
That's awesome.
Well, you know what? Mike just joined on here.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to add him to the call.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about you, Mike? Did you go to Record Store Day?
No, I didn't know about this.
No, well, I'm sorry. I forgot to send you an email. Well,
I would have gone.
Yeah, well,
it was crazy.
I was working today, so I guess I would have missed it anyway.
Well, it was like a month ago or something. I don't know.
I think it was last weekend, maybe.
It was great. Was it last weekend?
I think the 20th.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know. It was like,
because of course it has to be like, you know, tied into another stupid day. Maybe it was like 2 weeks ago or something, but it's all right. It was crazy and kind of pointless, but I had to try and get this one record.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What record?
It was the Steve Malcolmus covered entire Can album.
Oh God,
I
which
Can live? I don't even know how to say it. The OGE something, Ogabatu or something like that. Okay. So I don't know that record that well, but I like Can's other stuff a lot, and and I was like, oh, that sounds really nuts, and I know I'll never get that any other way. So I had to try, and luckily I had a friend in Pittsburgh who I was texting with, who said, oh, I think they have it. So he got it for me, actually. And nice. Then I gave up, and yeah, it was great. And then I went home.
So, Mike, you're lucky enough to be going down to, going over to Philly, to see X-Fest, the Exhumed, Films Exploitation Film Festival.
Indeed.
Which I have a ticket here, nice. With my name on it, and, I'm not going.
Oh. What happened?
Well, my mom's coming to town, and, there's no way I can leave my wife here,
yeah,
to tend to that. So I had to bow out this year.
Oh, but damn.
Do you know anybody that needs a ticket, or anybody that would want a ticket? I will send it like second day for free if you want.
I mean. You could send it to me. I mean, I'll be there, and I'm sure there'll be people like looking for tickets at the event. But I don't know anyone. I mean, all my friends that were planning on going have tickets. So.
Okay. Well, then I'll probably do that anyway, because it'll just go to waste.
Yeah, I think I actually have an extra ticket to give away as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
So if you're listening in,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is being broadcast live on the air right now.
This is live.
Call in. We'll take the fourth caller.
Yeah. Fourth caller gets two
free. Lucky fourth caller is going to get a free ticket, free to X-Fest.
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 X-X.
Yeah. We're.
That was great echo.
That was good.
Thanks. It took me a lot to line up this sponsorship, but they gave us two free tickets.
Wow.
So free airfare and complimentary mimosas when you arrive. So.
Yes.
Limo to the event, red carpet treatment.
Right.
Backstage and a complimentary passes.
Hand release.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Free popcorn and a small soda.
Yeah.
This is great. This is a great deal, guys. Call in now.
Yeah, call in now. There's only two tickets left.
Our operators are standing by.
Yeah. So, what do you guys been watching? Like, what's the last movie you guys watched?
Hollywood Cop.
Hollywood Cop.
Really? Every single day? Oh, I wish I could watch it every single day.
It's on repeat.
Every single day.
Totally watch this movie every single day.
I've decided that Animal is my greatest inspiration.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I've just kind of adapted my whole entire lifestyle around just trying to be more like Animal.
All right. Well,
let's get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Wait, do you want to go back? Should we actually talk about movies we've been watching lately? I mean, I do have a stack here.
Yes, I want to hear about your movie watching habits lately.
I have a pretty sweet double feature on my desk right now. I got The Incredible Shrinking Man and The Incredible Melting Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Two incredible films.
Sounds like a full night.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Melting Man, did you watch that one already?
Yeah, I've actually seen both of these on the big screen before. So, wow. But I found them online on Amazon for like $6. So, score.
Nice.
Yeah.
And he just melts.
Well, he melts because he's exposed to radiation because he was an astronaut. He went into space. And
oh, my God.
And he's the only one that survives, actually. He comes back to Earth and he starts melting. And,
oh, wow.
He has to kill other people and feed off them. To feed his cells, yeah. So he becomes this melting, murderous dude.
Wow. And it must be he's slow, very slowly melting.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
But the only thing that could stop it is killing people and using their bodies somehow.
Well, it doesn't even really stop anything. It's totally futile. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean... You know, that's just his affliction. There's nothing he can do about it except follow the impulse to kill.
So is he melting from the inside outward or outside inward? Or just
seems mostly from the outside. But then in, I don't know, at a certain point he kind of implodes.
So it's like Spoiler Toxic Avenger.
No. not quite like Toxic Avenger. Anyway, you guys should definitely check it out. It's a classic.
What year is it?
Melting Man. That is 1977.
Wow.
Oh, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Rick Baker who did the effects.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. It's got some pretty sweet effects. Highly recommended.
Nice. I actually just saw Kill List last night. I don't know if you guys know about that movie. This was like, I guess, from last year. And I'm trying to look up the director because Josh at work, Ben Wheatley. I guess, I don't know. He did something at Tribeca that Josh was telling me about. Sightseers, which I guess is like a sort of this weird murder rampage in a trailer park. But this movie, Kill List, was really great. I love the whole like look of it and the editing and just the feel. It was really kind of like a lot of kind of jump cuts, and it's very like naturalistic, and then the story just goes in this crazy direction that I didn't see coming. And it's really weird. Like it starts out like kind of conventional and you, yeah, it's kind of like Rosemary's Baby a little bit. Like you're sort of like, it just goes in this really nuts direction, which I don't even want to tell you guys about actually. But it was great.
Yeah.
Who's in that one?
What's that?
Who's in that one? Kill List?
I'm looking at the cast. I mean, it's nobody that – it was an English movie, so I don't recognize any of the cast.
Word.
None of these names. They're just kind of unknowns to me anyway. But the accents were really thick. It was kind of – I had to turn on subtitles at one point because I was like, I really am not following what they're saying. Like it's so this super heavy English kind of Irish. And yeah, it was great though. Really good. Really good and super weird. What about you, Travis?
Me?
Yeah.
I watched Hunger Games.
All right.
In
what do you think?
Two parts. I thought it was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Total waste of time. But you know,
pretty much.
Every once in a while, you got to watch a movie like that, and yeah. it just makes you appreciate the lower end of the spectrum.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. It's like imagine if you had a movie that costs $10 to rent and then you watch it and you go, is this worth 10 Buckflix movies?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. Yeah. It was like, I don't know. It was so hyper stylized and just like, I don't know, too much for me, but I've told a couple of people that and they just look at me funny.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you should read the book. Well, I'm not going to read the book now. I don't know. I have other books to read, I guess.
That's a shitty recommendation. It's like, oh, you saw the movie and you're like, yeah, I didn't like the movie. And they're like, oh, if you didn't like that, then you should punish yourself further. Yeah. Devoting your time to reading a goddamn book?
No, thank you.
Unless the book is all of the things that were not in the movie somehow, then maybe it's good. But
it's already tainted for me. I mean, I would picture those people and I don't want to picture any of those people.
It was such a missed opportunity. I mean, like I like Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. I think that whole idea of like, or Lord of the Flies, right? Like put kids together. They're maniacs. They'll kill each other. So this is a great setup. And basically the whole movie was anything but these kids murdering each other for sport. Like, I love Running Man. Give me Running Man with teenagers. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I guess I didn't mind the action scenes as much, but it was just the fluff around it was just.
They should have gotten straight into the game and have these kids just murdering each other in crazy, awesome ways with traps in the woods. That would have been a movie.
Yeah, the first hour was completely unnecessary.
Boring.
Completely unnecessary.
Yeah, a lot of terrible future design.
Yeah, but that's really the only movie I've seen in so long, probably since I watched Hollywood Cop. And we've been watching Mad Men for some reason. We've just been slogging our way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, just some really shitty reality television.
That's
like
good.
Like very really good. Shitty, like The Voice and shit like that.
All right. Wow. Oh, man. I love that singing. I love it.
Yeah, with those chairs that they have.
I love the chairs. I love the turning around.
Yeah, they turn around. They see the person. They say they're so surprised.
And all those classic songs, they just need like some updating, you know? They need like some pizzazz, some vocal.
Yeah, they need some runs, you know?
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. What else you guys been seeing? Someone mentioned Roddy Piper earlier. What was it? Oh, you watched They Live. I was just going to mention this. Yeah. You know, maybe excuse me. The next episode will not be what comes around, which we had alluded to earlier, Mike. The next episode being What Comes Around. It's a movie that stars Jerry Reed, and it's a comedy about two brothers, and one is a substance abuser, and it's about their relationship. But sounds kind of boring, but I also have a movie recently. Well, actually, I have two movies. On videotape, I have Hell Comes to Frogtown. I don't know if it's listed in Buckflix, but I also have another Roddy Piper movie, which I have to look up. So talk about something else for a second.
Well, speaking of terrible reality shows, Kissing Contest just did their super extravaganza Final Four reality show madness.
Yeah.
Which just was posted today. I didn't even get a chance to listen to it, but I had everyone in the office. I printed out the reality brackets and had everybody pick like the worst reality television show ever. And before I even hear it, basically it came down to, let me see, Toddlers and Tiaras definitely was like on everyone's top list, and 16 and Pregnant.
Oh, yeah. My bracket was Teen Mom 2 and 16 and Pregnant. And I think 16 and Pregnant 1.
That's what I had winning too. And I'm excited to hear this.
But I'm about halfway through the episode today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So far, so good.
It's like a 3-hour episode, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's a little over 2 hours, but.
Excellent. I'm so glad they could do that for 12 hours. I would love to hear them talk
about
it.
It's great.
Just fight over the worst. What is the worst reality show?
It's such a well-organized episode too. Like I don't know. They put out these brackets and then they just like perfectly just go through, take you through the whole, the whole tournament, you know, all within a couple of hours.
Nice. Cause Mike he's a taskmaster. He really keeps him on track.
He does too, man. He doesn't fuck around. Like
he's a good host.
Like we do here.
Yeah.
I wish I could find out which, we got some really great, Buckflix movies, Bounty Hunters, I think, is maybe the one.
Okay.
Roddy Piper, is he in that one? Nope.
No, he had such an acting career, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, They Live was his fantastic performance.
Oh, yeah.
Especially that fight scene. I mean, I couldn't get over that the first time I saw that. It's my favorite part of the movie.
I haven't seen Hell Comes to Frogtown. You said you have that on VHS, Trent?
I have it on VHS. I mean, I'm sure it's widely available wherever else, but
are you gonna send us VHS copies of it?
Jeez, do you guys have VCRs?
I actually do.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't.
I've been buying up all the VHS at the local Goodwill. Oh nice. Man. Sorry to say this, guys, but the buckflix.tk site is down. I think I just crashed it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Sean, if you're listening in right now, on the radio, if you could just fix that. Great.
It's probably that contest we were running earlier.
We got a lot of hits.
He's probably trying to call the station now, but he can't get through because of all the phone calls.
Well, the phones are jammed and the site's down. I mean, this is...
I'm looking at our operators, and they're like totally flummoxed.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Look at her.
They're pulling their hair out. Man.
Oh, you know what? Actually, what? I got a call coming in.
Yeah?
Wow. Let me see if this is an upset buckflix.tk user.
Can you put them on speaker?
I'll put him on speaker.
Nice. Yeah, you're on.
You're on the air. You're on the air.
You're live.
Hello, caller. You're live.
Caller?
If you could turn down your radio, I think we're getting some...
Are we getting some feedback?
Are you in the car? Could you turn down your radio, sir?
Hello? All right. It seems like we're having some technical difficulties.
Yeah. The buckflix.tk, it was down, and now it's up.
Oh, it's back. All right, we're back. Nice. We're back.
Can anybody hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now I can hear you.
Oh, well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jason. Welcome to the podcast.
What have I missed? Probably everything.
Well, not really. We've just been bullshitting for a little while here. We've talked about Record Store Day, what we've been doing lately, and now we're talking about movies we've seen lately, since Hollywood Cop, probably. And a little bit of reality television, and the latest subject was Roddy Piper. So do you care to comment on any of those things?
I don't know anything about most of that, but Aaron and I watched Thor last night, and man, that is a horrible movie.
I thought Thor was okay. I didn't like Captain America too much.
Yeah,
I liked him either. I thought Thor visually, I thought it looked awesome.
Yeah,
it's so cool. But God, what a bad movie.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. No, definitely not great. It's no Avengers. I did like the Avengers.
Yeah, it was good.
I saw the Avengers soaking in a tub in Las Vegas, so that might have added coolness.
Oh, my God. I wish I was there.
That made it better.
Well, I'm glad you weren't in the tub with me, but I wish you were in the same, like, city. You know, we could have hung out afterward. Is Sean here? Yeah. Is Koblish here?
No, Sean's not here. I can't get Sean to watch this movie. And I
really?
Think after the third cancellation of this, you know, this podcast, I think he was like, yeah, I'm not going to be involved in this.
Well, I sure didn't expect it. I mean, I usually don't get home till about now on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and I didn't think anybody would want to be up till 10 o'clock on a weeknight.
Yeah. Well, We're a dedicated crew, you know. But yeah. Sean said he was going to watch the movie this weekend because he was going to be alone. I don't know exactly what that means, but.
some time alone with the Hollywood God.
Yeah. David Gross.
Wow. Yeah,
it is. I didn't think it was that bad of a movie, actually. I thought it was a bad movie, but for a bad movie, I didn't think it was very bad.
All right. Well, before we get into that, Jason, what have you been doing with your life lately? You started your new job, right?
Yeah, that's right. I've been in my new job for 2 months today, and we hit 100 degrees Monday.
Jesus.
Awesome.
Wow.
And I've been working in my backyard trying to get the chlorine levels in my pool down so I could go in it. It's warm enough to go in now.
Yeah, does the heat elevate the chlorine levels? Is that how it works?
No. What happens is if you get a guy who's never had a pool or owned a pool, he just puts a shitload of chlorine in it, thinking might as well kill everything. So then you go in it later and you realize your skin starts to burn. You're like, oh, I did it wrong. So now I'm trying to get the chlorine out of the pool. And you can either pay for chemicals or you can just let the sunlight do it, because the sunlight apparently will help dissipate the chlorine. So
when you say kill everything, did you have fish in there?
You know what? No, but you know what I do have? Instead of my pool all winter, I called it my lizard killing hole, because I killed lizards and rats than most extermination companies. They just would crawl in and they would drown and die, and I would scoop them up every day.
Oh, my God.
That's an interesting problem.
Yeah.
But one snake, probably 30 lizards, and a couple of rats.
Wow.
They don't know what to do when they find all that water.
Yeah, it's dry here. So they see it, they're like, they go right in for it, man.
They get overtaken by chlorine fumes, right?
Yeah.
They're dead before they hit the water.
Well, I got a fountain in my front yard, which I'm getting rid of. But right now it runs, and the pigeons are all over it because it's like the only water within 1,000 miles. So they're all over it. But what I did is I put all this chlorine and algaecide in there. That they'll like start drinking out of it, and then they won't fly away. They'll just walk away. So I don't know what that does. If all that algae just like paralyzes their wings, or
I heard if you put Alka-Seltzer in the fountain, that when they fly away, they'll explode in midair.
That's true. That is true.
I will do that.
Oh, that's a mess.
It's like a truck stop for every pigeon in Tucson. I've got the bird shit all over the place. Disgust.
Maybe you could put a tiny ladder or something in the pool next year, or a little ramp, so they could get out.
You know, I think you're onto something. But the chlorine levels are so high that they're irritating a human, I don't think it's right. Matter shit.
No, that's probably the first problem. Then you'll just get weird mutated rats that are angry.
Yeah, that's what I want. Pissed off pack rats.
Yeah.
What kind of birds are these? Are they do they have really big feathers and leathery skin?
Are they pterodactyls?
No, we get quails, pigeons, and roadrunners.
Roadrunners? Oh, wow.
All cool. Over the place. And doves.
Weird.
Yeah. But you see it mostly in the morning because it's kind of cool in the morning still. But when I would run along the road, they like run with you. I don't know why, but like they'll jump out in front of you and they'll run to like 100 yards and then they'll go off into the bush. And why they do that. They do.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all what right. I've been up to. That and yard work. So
yeah.
I got to keep my rocks a beautiful brown.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a little break here and come back and talk about Hollywood Cop.
Woo-hoo. Hey, what's happening over there? I don't know, but I sure feel sorry for the people who have to deal with him.
Him? Who is he?
He's Turk.
Turk? Who's that?
He's a cop.
He is?
He's a good cop.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe he might be able to help me.
I'm sure he can.
Good, Max. You know, I can see you weren't born yesterday, because nobody could get that fucking stupid in 24 hours.
Captain, how about that dinner?
Screw the dinner. You got any Tums? I need some goddamn Tums.
But when I get out of here, I'm gonna get me a dog. Dogs are better. They understand better. You understand, don't you?
We're back. And we're gonna talk about Hollywood Cop. All right. Here's the synopsis as stated on the back of the DVD that's available through buckflix.tk. The website's up right now. A small community is attacked by ruthless killers. Many innocent bystanders are butchered while a small boy is kidnapped from the arms of his pleading mother, parentheses, Rebecca. But this wasn't senseless carnage, for the boy is the son of former member of this gang of murderers, .. a man who years ago stole $6 million from them. Next paragraph. The gang's warning is deadly. Find your husband. Tell him we get our money or the kid dies. Rebecca goes to Hollywood, seeking the whereabouts of her husband, whom she has not seen in 2 years. There, she meets Sergeant Turquoise, parentheses Turkey. Turkey is a tough veteran cop on the infamous Hollywood beat. Once Turkey and his black partner, Jaguar, hear Rebecca's story, they take on the case and the mob. Without much to go on, Turkey and Jaguar become involved in a desperate race against time to find Rebecca's husband, locate the money, and save the boy from certain death. Next paragraph.
Jesus.
Turkey and Jaguar break all the rules to get the job done in sometimes serious, often humorous methods. It isn't long before they turn Hollywood into a killing ground as they search through the evil underworld to finish their job. The mob thought they were going to have their way, but the Hollywood cop was out to prove they were dead wrong. Exclamation point.
Next pair of goosebumps.
No, that's it. That's the whole shebang. That is the longest DVD synopsis I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even realize that till I just read it. That's great copy. Good use of a lot of different types of punctuation too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hollywood Cop. I've seen this movie before. This is one of the first movies we got in the Buckflix catalog, and it was one of the first movies in the catalog that I watched. And I think I actually might have sent it to Jason for him to watch at some point. And, you know, it kind of struck me the movie itself, and I thought it would be a good one to do on the show with a group of people. I've never watched it with anybody. I've seen it twice, the beginning with my wife, and I think at one point her sister. but the time that we watched it with her sister, I turned it off shortly after the multicultural rape that occurs. That's right. sort of shortly into the movie.
But wait, hold on, no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but yeah. So, I love this movie. I think the acting in it is really, really, cardboard style acting. A lot of first timers here. I don't think what's his name, Billy or whoever, the kid that Joey. Is it Joey? I don't know who it is. I don't know who any of these people are. But this is his only acting role, the kid that washes the goat. The kid that gets kidnapped, it's his only acting role. So I wonder what he thinks of this movie.
If he does at all.
If he remembers.
Oh my god.
But yeah. What did you guys think? I don't know who wants to go first, and I'm gonna let you fight for it.
Well, firstly, I just wanted to know whether the multicultural rape, I mean, was it the multicultural aspect of it, or was it the rape aspect?
Well, it was definitely the rape aspect that kind of made me say, well, you know, I'm gonna turn this off. Because, we don't see you that often, and I'm not gonna make you watch a rape movie. Not that this is by any means a rape movie. That's totally like a bolted on sort of thing.
So unnecessary too.
Oh, completely. Like
you don't want that stigma.
Yeah, yeah. Well, every time I'm over there, he makes me watch rape movies.
Yeah. Dear Diary, went over to brother-in-law's. Watch it again.
It's always on the rape part. Yeah. Every time I show up.
Yeah.
That was a little weird. That did kind of strike me. It's like, whoa, all right. This is one of those moments where they really went all in and Got some actors, some a little bit of nudity money.
Yeah,
yeah. It was even on screen for too long too. I mean, you could have it suggested a rape with much less screen time, and yeah, it seemed to linger. You know, it was just way too long.
Yeah, and the longer it went on, the filthier it got. The dirtier I felt.
And basically all that was a setup for Hollywood Cop to just kind of show him taking charge. And I'm going to – well, none of you guys want to go up there and stop these rapists? Well, well, I'm going to have to then. And then he charges up and I guess kind of breaks things up a little bit. And
yeah.
Yeah. It was so, it had nothing to do with the story.
He was interrupted. It interrupted his hot dog time.
I guess. Yeah, definitely. We can agree. You know, it was maybe a part in the movie where they didn't exercise the kind of judgment that they used throughout the rest of the film, which was top notch.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I had a little bit of background on this. Amir Shirvan, who is the director, creator of this masterpiece, he was an Iranian director, from what I read, and he came to America and spent, you know, about 5 years here. And in that 5 years, he put out five or six movies. A lot of them action movies, I guess, and the first of which was Hollywood Cop. He's more known for, I guess, his second or third feature called Samurai Cop. which I've never seen. But I'd love to see it.
Oh yeah, I looked that up. That has the guy from Maniac Cop.
Yeah, yeah. But,
wow,
Bill Lustig is that?
No, it has the same actor.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay. So
I think it also one of the henchmen was in Space Cop, I think.
Okay.
Or a Roller Coaster Cop, one of those.
Is it a trilogy? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. There was a series.
Well, Jesus. And the guy that plays Hollywood Cop, I think his name is David Gross, and
David
I have
Potts, I believe. Gr-
Goss? Oh, Goss. Oh, yeah, David Goss. Yeah. He was a production assistant on 12 episodes of The Bachelorette. So, yeah. I've watched The Bachelorette. I probably saw one of those episodes at least.
You probably saw him like running across screen with a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah.
I bet. If you look closely.
I know that hair.
You know, after I watched this movie, I did a little research, you know, to see where the hell this guy came from. And I think I found that he's like a lawyer or something. You know, he's he was just moonlighting as an actor. You
know? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
well, you could see it in the role. I could definitely. Is that the Hollywood Cop?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the movie doesn't open with a rape, but I mean, pretty close. I mean, it opens with just some mobsters, you know, just hanging out and hassling some broads, you know, and
it's a gang pool party.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the funny thing. I watched it like the second time, and then I realized this is what these guys are doing right before they're gonna like, you know, kidnap this kid and shoot all these people up. They're like partying by a pool with chicks and everything.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
That makes sense.
There was they cut the guy's head off right after the rape too, didn't they?
Oh yeah. Well, that's yeah. There. So I guess, so we go from the pool scene, which is, well, we're going to kidnap this kid. That's how we're going to get the money back, to the rape scene in a crazy motel room.
Yeah, it's very muddled. So they're at the pool. Then they're like, oh, we got to go check the ranch. And so suddenly they're running down. It's like one of the most like awkward entrance scenes I've ever seen for like a gang of bad guys. Like they're running down this really almost vertical pitch of a hill that has trees in it and everything, and with Tommy guns, and and then they descend upon this little farm with goats, the goat scene is great.
Was my favorite scene.
That was good. Yeah,
I watched it. There's a lot to like.
Yeah, before the guys get there, they focus on a boy washing his goat, and his mother calls out to him, "Wow, what are you doing? You're washing that goat for the third time today." And then the goat, I don't know if any of you guys noticed, but I've seen it twice, so like. When the goat turns around, the huge nutsack on that goat is amazing to me. But
wow, I'm gonna have to watch it a third time just for that.
Yeah,
yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, but the mobsters come down and they kill everybody, and they, you know, break the goddamn glass on the door. They find the kid and they kidnap him, and then they cut to a scene where you know they take the kid back to the headquarters, and the boss man then proceeds to pick out girls for his prostitution ring, And then they cut back to the farm, and an Asian farmhand reads the mother's ransom note, saying that they're instructed to bring $6 million.
That's right.
Down to Hollywood Boulevard, and just walk up and down Hollywood Boulevard until they find the person they have to pay or something. So then they cut to Hollywood Boulevard, and she's just walking up and down.
That's right.
And then they're playing a song there that I really wish there was a soundtrack for Hollywood Cop, but there is not.
Yeah, I looked. It was a great
small town girl in the city.
Yes. Oh man.
And so it's a little montage of her walking down Hollywood Boulevard, and it switches between night and day a number of times.
Yeah.
And then we proceed to the hot dog cart and the aforementioned rape scene.
I thought the hot dog cart that was pretty obviously like a cheap little homage to Dirty Harry with his how Dirty Harry goes to get the hot dog and then right. like shit's going down and then he's like, hey, what the fuck's going on? Same thing.
Yeah,
that's right.
Huh.
Good point.
Yeah.
So Hollywood Cop was very much like a poor man's blonder, more 80s Dirty Harry.
And the comic relief, I feel, brought elements of 48 Hours.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Jaguar.
Yeah.
Jaguar.
All the characters in this movie seem to have some pretty awesome names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turk, and Jaguar. Yeah, that's a great team up.
And we can't forget Animal. Right away, he's established right away in the intro pool scene as the heart and soul of the film, really, for me. he's just like a cackling madman throughout the whole movie, and it's just completely over the top, and it's just really horrible, but just kind of can't take your eyes off of him.
Yeah. He's willing to do anything to get the job done, you can see.
He has a bit of a Ted DiBiase kind of vibe to him.
Yeah, definitely.
He does.
Definitely.
It was super intense.
And you know, the main boss guy, the head boss, that's Robert Mitchum's son.
Wow.
Oh, is that Jim Mitchum?
Yeah. Okay. I thought when I saw the name, I thought it at first that it was Mitchum's brother, but it wasn't his brother. It was his son.
All right. Yeah.
He looks a lot like his dad, actually.
He does. That's crazy.
So they, you know, he goes in there and busts some heads for this rape that's going on and in this hotel apartment building. I don't know what it is, but so Turk finally comes out the victor of the rape. Recovery, sort of, and the husband of the victim comes out, and there's a chase scene of the guy. He's looking to get revenge, and as you said, Jason, the perpetrator gets his head cut off,
just right then and there, pretty quick, but swift too.
But not before Turk says, "Hey, I know he fucked your wife, but he's ours now."
Oh my god! Yeah, what a line!
Yeah.
What a fantastic line of dialogue!
Yeah,
Turk has a lot of tact.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Well, I mean, you know, that's that all comes out when that he obviously does not have any tact once he gets in front of that commissioner.
Oh, yeah.
You're a fucking maniac, Turkey. You're played by the top billed Cameron Mitchell.
Yes.
Yeah.
A very old Cameron Mitchell.
He's good.
So after getting yelled at by the commissioner, Turkey goes back out, and the hot dog girl says, "Hey, Turkey, come get your hot dog."
And that's great. When
real that's slice when, a turkey dog.
Yeah, that turkey dog. No, I don't think it's a turkey dog. It's all beef. All beef.
All beef for turkey.
So yeah. So then you know, they see this girl crying over there, and they're like, "Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong? We're gonna help you. We'll help you."
Yeah,
it's a strange, like,
or no, that chick, she sees she gets a hot dog, and then she sees Turk, and she's like, "That's Turk. He's a cop. He's like really good cop."
Yeah. He'll help anyone with any problem. He's the best.
Yeah, that's exactly how she says it too. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I've been practicing.
Yeah.
And then, so Rebecca is there every single day until finally, or it seems like, I don't know, I felt like there was a montage there.
Yeah.
And then finally Turk notices her and she's crying and she says, "My son's been kidnapped."
Yeah.
And luckily Turk's got a spare room. So he says, "Hey, come back to my place."
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Turk finds a lady crying on Hollywood Boulevard and asks her to move in with him.
He knows the score.
An hour later, they're having drinks together, cheersing, saying, "Hey, we're gonna find your kid. Don't worry about it. Be in Jaguar." So I would sleep easy that night, I have to say. He's on the case. He takes the case and that's it.
Yep.
Jaguar had some really good facial expressions too, I thought.
He was pretty funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jaguar was my favorite in the movie. I mean, what really sealed the deal for me was when they, you know, they go back to give some backstory on Joe Fresno, and he apparently had double crossed his buddies, and you know, they're like, "Go down to the Hollywood Tropicana, and you can find out a little bit more about Joe Fresno." So they do, and apparently what occurs at Hollywood Tropicana is oil wrestling.
Yeah.
And old Jags figures he'll take a stab at this. He does, and he comes out with two bikini tops.
Come down. I thought that was a...
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's like it kind of made me wonder when, because I remember oil wrestling being a thing in movies. Like, I know that sort of that same scene was in Stripes, but with John Candy. But what, like, I remember seeing oil wrestling in the 80s. When did that go out of style, and why is it not back?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that was like Cannonball Run. Or I remember there was like Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, like Glow Wrestling.
Yeah.
Was on like really early or late, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like right before.
Yeah, it was on Saturday morning, after Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. Before Kung Fu Theater.
And they definitely, they didn't have, maybe not oil wrestling, but some substances were involved sometimes.
Yeah.
I think.
Lubricated wrestling of some sort.
Yeah. Exactly. I understand the concept, but yeah, I think maybe just there's, you know, with the internet, there's just other ways to fulfill that niche.
I guess it's not really necessary anymore.
Yeah.
It's much less messy now.
Yeah. But yeah, Jaguar said, "These ladies aren't so tough. I could take them."
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, he, you know, there's no sexism with Jaguar. There's no ageism. No. Just a couple of kids. I could take them. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Well, grandma's getting out of line. I'll take her. Nothing is if they're breaking the law, it doesn't matter. That's Jaguar's point, I think.
So, he was also pretty open about that kind of stuff when they were walking around that that spa or that sauna that was where all the exclusive people go to hook up with prostitutes or whatever the hell that was. He was having a good time in there too.
Yeah, well, I mean that and like that scene where they go to they actually find Joe Fresno and like all those skanky girls that he was hanging out with were trying to grab at him and stuff as he was running by. He's a hot commodity, I guess.
Just his presence. Yeah, that was it. He's just in the room and ladies are all over Jaguar.
Yeah.
He doesn't, he's just trying to catch the bad guy and they can't keep their hands off him. Almost like a distraction. Like they're trying to stop him from catching.
Doesn't he actually say, ladies, I'm trying to work here?
Yeah, sure.
It does.
That was great.
Now, I had a question. Do you think after the wrestling scene, like right after that, they cut to them, like they're out on the street, they're doing some other shit, they're hunting down some leads, and I'm wondering, did Jaguar hit the showers at any point after the wrestling in the oil?
No, I'm sure it was just a beach towel and a available restroom. You got to imagine a place like the Hollywood Tropicana that hosted these oil wrestling extravaganzas. They must have had some sort of shower.
Yeah, he went back to the locker room and cleaned himself up.
Yeah, that was basically his prize.
He walked away with athlete's foot.
Yeah. So they go and
they have to do a money exchange.
Money exchange. Right? They made up with Joe Fresno and do some weird thing. I don't even know what that interaction is, but he's on the run. Joe Fresno is on the run apparently. So they go back to the hideout where they're keeping Stevie, the little kid that they stole, and the big mob boss like slaps the kid, calls him chicken shit, and then they put him in some room with like windows that only have bars on them.
It's like a kitchen,
and there's a Doberman outside. Yeah. So
the kid just wins over.
Yeah, the kid
is like
kid
a just charmer.
It like has some indecipherable exchange with this Doberman and form some relationship with him.
Yeah. It's like
meanwhile the mobsters are getting all drunk and the kid escapes.
Well, the dog helps him escape. He opens the doors for him.
Right.
Says, "Let's go, kid. You're going to be my new best friend."
Yeah.
That's it.
They chased that kid too, man. They tackled him. I mean, that was a serious chase out there.
Yeah, I like when they first realize he's gone, they're like, "Hey, what is it? The kid's gone. Go get spaghetti. Go get spaghetti." But they're not talking about going to get spaghetti, like the food. They're talking about spaghetti. That's one of the guys.
I do. I loved that. The kid actually was. Well, I'll talk about more about it when we get further along, where he has that scene with his father.
Oh, yeah. Well, man. So, it's all about the first, 45 minutes or so are all about the excesses of American life and law enforcement in 1987 and the surrounding you know, culture, rape, child abuse, animal killing, which,
well, you know, washing.
And oil wrestling. the animal killing occurs, of course, when they go and get the kid back and shoot the dog. Another unnecessary thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, the dog turned on them now. He's like best friends with the kid. The kid.
Yeah, yeah. How are they going to retrain him? You know?
Never. Yeah, forget it. Once the dog goes
let him go live back at the ranch next to the pool. You know, you don't have to kill the dog.
I don't know.
But, you know, in the heat of the moment, spaghetti, he wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking. But, yeah. So they meet up with Joe Fresno. And, yeah, what happens then? Joe Fresno goes to get Stevie, I guess, right?
He does. I think he goes to talk to him, right?
Yeah.
He's like, let me talk to my kid if I'm going to give you the $6 million. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so $6 million or $2 million. It's millions.
He says,
all
right, kid,
and then comes one of the greatest scenes between a father and his son in movie history.
I know you hate me, son, but I have a very serious illness.
Yeah.
It's called blood cancer.
Blood cancer. Blood cancer. Oh,
so,
man.
So he thinks his kid is also an idiot, apparently.
Yeah. He's like, I was really sick. I couldn't tell anybody. I had blood cancer. I had to take drugs.
Yeah. Right, right. The only cure was heroin.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the only way to cure the blood cancer.
Yeah.
Was to kill it with heroin.
So years later, when little Stevie grows up, he's going to say, what a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The only time he came to see me, he straight up lied to my fucking face.
You know, I think he would have said that the next day, because yeah, actually when his dad comes to see him, he's like, I'd rather die than leave with you right now.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
That was fucked up. That was Parch.
Yeah.
Kids grow up so fast.
Especially in a situation like this, you know, one minute you're just like happy on your farm washing your goat, and then all of a sudden you're kidnapped by mobsters named Spaghetti and Animal, and you're put in a kitchen with bars on it, and you have the only person you can talk to is a Doberman. And your dad comes and lies in your face.
Yeah, right to your face. Like you're an idiot. Big, stupid idiot.
Blood cancer.
I mean, and then, but he does tell him about some kind of Christmas present that he's hidden in the ceiling of the closet. Yeah. So I don't think he realized.
It made no sense at the time.
Right. I don't think he wanted to tell him right away, hey, I left you $6 million in the closet. But someday you're going to remember this conversation and the good times we had. And you're going to look at the closet.
Yeah. Not only did it not make sense. Not only did it not make sense at the time, it just doesn't make sense at all. Because, like, he stashed it there. He tells the kid about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just didn't make any fucking sense at all.
It really didn't. It really didn't. But he was using some of it to party with those ladies in the backyard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I guess that's all he's been
doing. Was it a backyard, or was it just, like, some, like, park in between freeways or something?
It was the corner of someone else's backyard. Yeah. With a table with a bunch of booze and four ladies just dancing to nothing.
Yeah.
Not one sound.
That was some great cinematography there. That scene opened with a grizzled ass, like in the.
It really did.
Oh man! Oh, one thing I noticed is throughout this movie, product placement.
Yes,
Pepsi.
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 Man,
holy cow!
It's true. And also, there's a weird line with James Mitchum where he's like, Turk, you're making me have a goddamn Tums festival. I don't know what that means.
That's a Tums party. That's like the last line in the movie.
Tums festival. Yeah. That's what he says.
He says it twice.
He says it twice.
He says it in the middle, and then he says, he's like, every time I talk to you, I gotta go to the bathroom. That was terrible. Yeah. That's a terrible.
There's pyramids of Pepsi cans in front of everyone's desk. hopefully they made their money back before they even started shooting.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding. Because, I mean, this is a great opportunity for a company like Pepsi.
Oh, man. Absolutely.
I actually had never even heard of Pepsi until I'd watched Hollywood Cop.
Oh, really? Oh, so you were a Coke fan. RC Cola, Coke fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pepsi's great. It's been around a long time. I'm surprised you never heard of it before.
It's pretty good.
Now you have. Ask for it at your deli.
Sweet.
Yeah. 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 Do you have Pepsi? Pepsi? What about Tums?
I need both of those.
So, yeah. So, Joe Fresno. What's the story of Joe Fresno ends up in the hospital? Is that the story? Somebody ends up in the hospital, right? Oh, no. It's one of the mobsters or something like that, right? It's like, where is he? Where is he?
Because the kid.
Yeah.
And at this point, Turk lost his badge.
Mm-hmm.
He's off. That's it.
Turn it in.
Tums Festival's
on my desk.
A badge. And he calls him Turquoise, which I thought, wait, is that his name? Like, is it Turquoise the McGubbin the Third, and everybody just calls him Turk?
Yeah, he has three names. He has Turquoise, Turkey, and Turk.
Oh, man.
So.
I like Turquoise. That's a good name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's off the force. That's it. So he.
Very masculine.
Does that stop him?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, out there it is. Sorry.
No. It doesn't matter. Badge or not, he's going to that hospital. He's going to win over the lady cop standing outside. And he's going to interrogate that fucking jerk.
Yeah, that doesn't work out so well with that lady guard.
Well,
sort of.
He's laying down the groundwork, I think.
Yeah.
I think they already have been in a relationship, and it didn't work out because, again, Turk can't be with one lady. He was with you, okay? Just like, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. She couldn't, obviously. But hey, he can still come around and go, hey, remember the good times. Let me in that room. And she goes, Turk, come on. Get out of here. Enough. All right, fine. Go ahead. So he still got it?
Yeah, so, I mean, what do they do when they go in and interrogate the guy? Do they just kill him?
No, they torture him to get some information.
Information.
Of course.
Okay. All right. And he gives it up. He tells him where the hideout is.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck is used a lot. There's a lot of fucks in this movie. that's one, just one of the notes I had. Then they find out like that somehow this Fong guy is involved in this. So they go to this massage parlor, right?
Right.
This high class cat house, right. Beverly Hills. Heaven on Earth is called.
And that's where there's a great, like you were saying, like great, like 48 Hours style Eddie Murphy scene with Jaguar ringing the bell, like in front of the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, stop ringing the bell. And he just keeps hitting it, like ringing it before he can ring it. And there's some, there was some real comedy there for a second that I wish they, could have involved Jaguar more. There's another lost opportunity there, I think. But he's hilarious.
Yeah. At some point, the guys behind the desk say something like, him very rich man. He been saving all his welfare checks.
Yeah, that's right.
About Jaguar. Like, okay. All right. So double racism here. Craziness.
Was that Turk that said that? Like he was trying to get on the guy's side.
Oh, maybe that's what he said. But he said it with an accent, right? Like he's trying to get on his good side, but so he's trying to speak with a with a broken English.
Yeah, so he can understand.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's an amazing scene where I know I've heard of and I've seen people eating sushi off of naked ladies, but I've never seen them playing poker on a naked lady. So I thought that was kind of an interesting twist, or maybe that was how they did it back in the late 80s. Again, jacuzzis, every room they go into, they meet an old guy that they busted. Oh, hey, Johnny.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? And then they laugh it off and move on to the next room.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are they supposed to do? You know, you can't right. stop and save the world. Right. You got a mission.
That's right.
At one point there's like a garage full of boxes, right? If I remember right. And there's like a fight scene in there, right? Am I thinking of that? Is that the scene I'm thinking of?
Because I think they're trying to get to the main guy who runs Fong's, and they run into a bunch of bad guys in a cement warehouse with boxes, and there's some karate-ish stuff happening, and then they finally get to the boss, who they talk to. And I think he tells him what's happening, where to find the kid.
I don't even know why this Fong is like involved in this. Like it's just another unneeded layer of complexity. But
yeah, something to do with the register book that was at the front desk. That's sort of all I remember.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so and then they end up in some restaurant or something. I don't know.
I know they had a car chase. There's a car chase coming up soon.
Yeah, there's a car chase. A really low speed car chase, right?
Yeah.
That it really doesn't involve any sort of like driving over 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's a lot of, I think it's like on the ranch, kind of driving in circles and
back around
the hill again. And I think, is that when they're going to get the kid? Like they're like, that's it, we know where he is. Oh no, they're doing another money exchange or something. And that's when they give him a bag full of fake money.
Yeah,
the old fake money bag trick.
Yep, the old switcheroo.
All hell breaks loose. And Animal is super pissed. Oh man, he goes nuts. He's like a possessed Kenny Rogers. That's what I.
Yeah, he does look a lot like Kenny Rogers.
That's one of my notes. a crazy possessed. Oh,
that was the car chase. The car chase when the car flips over, it like explodes immediately.
It does explode.
It catches on fire, but I'm not exactly sure why. But yeah,
all cars have to do that. Yeah, there's just a fight, and what's his name dies. Spoiler alert: the dad.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's only going to be left with the blood cancer lie for the rest of his life. Those were the last words he had with his dad.
Yeah.
Were nothing but lies. But it's okay because he remembers about the money in the closet. So they get super excited about that. Everyone's very excited about the money in the closet. All their problems are solved.
Yeah.
And,
I remember Rebecca before they got to her house, they're like, oh my God, the house is going to be such a mess. I left it in such a hurry.
Such a mess. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, Turk, it gets a little forward with Rebecca in the house there. But I guess they're all going to live together and, you know, everything's going to be okay now with the $6 million that fits in a tiny duffel bag. So that's
yeah. No, they're all $100,000 bills.
I guess so.
I don't know why they need a duffel bag so big, but yeah. She's surprised. And geez, I've never seen so much money in one place.
Yeah. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope this was all worth it, kid. All those kid people dying and dogs getting killed, and the psychological problems you're gonna have. I hope it was all worth it. Blood cancer. Your dad had blood cancer for that $6 million. So, really.
I mean, his dad was great and everything, but I mean, you can't really beat the dad that he has now.
Turk? Yeah.
One of the best cops on the West Coast.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. And let's face it, Jaguar's coming over for like Thanksgiving and stuff.
Yeah. Jaguar, so, the uncle with the screw loose.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they give Jaguar some of that money. I mean, he did help.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if Jaguar didn't really have to work as a cop anymore. But
except that I forgot.
Yeah,
that the lieutenant has to reassign him with a sexy new lady detective.
Mm-hmm. That's right. First
he goes, what the hell? I don't want to work with. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I could get used to this.
Dog Turk.
And yep. who does Turk get? You know.
Well, he gets the old jerk cop who one hates.
Yeah, Troy Donahue.
Yeah, Troy Donahue. That didn't work out so well.
I smell a sequel here.
I think you're right.
And I think it's called Samurai Cop.
Oh my God. If Jaguar's in it, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I don't think Jaguar is in anything else outside of a few TV episodes of things, but I could be wrong.
No, I'm pretty sure they did a spin-off Jaguar TV show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, I forgot about that. That was in the late 80s.
Yeah. God. Ran for 12 seasons.
Yeah.
Wow.
12 years of Jaguar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I got to get that on DVD.
Yeah, dude. I got it on Blu-ray.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Well, Yeah, I'm going to try and find the two songs that I identified in here. One is an Iranian artist that sings the end credit song called Restless. And the other one is the small town girl in a big city or whatever, the montage song.
Yeah.
I'd love to have those two songs in my collection. But yeah, overall, I was satisfied with this movie. If my collection consisted of nothing but Hollywood Cop, Hunger Games, and Meet the Fockers, I would probably choose Hollywood Cop every single time.
I agree. That's an easy choice.
Like, just
you know. Yeah. I would take it a step further, and I would say that if I only had Casablanca, mm-hmm. Platoon, mm-hmm. Piranha, Easy Rider, Jaws, and Hollywood Cop, I would probably choose Hollywood Cop about, I don't know, 7 out of 10 times.
Wow.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've seen those other movies at least once, right. With the exception of Casablanca, I probably would choose Hollywood Cop every single time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is, those other movies are great, and they got a lot of good things going for them, but they don't have one thing that Hollywood Cop has. That's animal.
That's true. Are there any choice lines that you can remember animal saying?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In the beginning part, mm-hmm. when they're by the pool, he's like, the movie starts out right away. Boom, animal's right there, yeah. Walking next to the pool. And he says the one girl, he's like, when this job's over, I'm gonna take you to bed or whatever. And he's like, she's my girl, whatever. And he's like, why don't you fuck off, motherfucker? And then this guy, the one guy, the thug, I think his name is Spaghetti, maybe. He's like, oh, that's just animal. You know animal. And the chick there, she's like, yeah, I know. He tried to take me to bed last night. And he's like, what? What do you mean? Classic.
Oh,
and then for the rest of the movie, he's mostly just like cackling like a madman.
Yeah, yeah. He does a lot of cackling. There's a lot of cackling, a lot of Pepsi, and a lot of Hollywood excesses in this movie. High recommendation from this crew. I don't know if Jason Schlieder can chime in. I think he might have dropped off a little bit.
I think so. He loved it, though.
For sure. Yeah. 8 out of 10. He just texted me.
Oh.
8 out of 10 he gives it. He's here in spirit. He's probably listening on the radio.
Yeah.
This is being broadcast live on FM radio.
102.8 on your dial.
102.8 nationwide. So enjoy it. Call in. We'll be here for another 30 seconds. We'll take a break. We'll talk about what we're going to do next.
We got a word from our sponsor, Pepsi and Tums.
Look out. Because this Halloween, Toys R Us is your Halloween headquarters. You'll find every trick or treat under the moon. A monstrous selection of costumes and a dungeon full of decorations. At prices so low, you'll howl. So this Halloween, bring the entire family to Toys R Us for a Halloween selection so huge. It's scary.
This is David Lieberhart from Tim and Eric and the David Lieberhart Band, inviting you to join all your goofy pals and buddies on Logical Contraction Radio. The show is about the dark side of pop culture, conspire theories, and snacks. with celebrities guest star up as the Vuvuzu. That Logical Contraction Radio, every Sunday, 6 all the way to 8 p.m., 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, RadioValencia.pm, and on iTunes.
All right, we're back. So next time we decide to do this, I think we should do another movie.
I like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've got two options here. And Jason can do the text thing. The first one is Last to Surrender. It's a Roddy Piper movie from 1998. When fearless all-American narcotics cop Nick Ford loses his partner in a wild shootout in Seattle's Chinatown, he vows to track down the vicious killer known only as Tiger. But when Wu Yin, an officer from the People's Republic of China, is teamed up with Ford as part of an American-Chinese effort to battle the drug trade, there's only one problem. Ford recognizes Yin from the deadly Chinatown incident. As the unlikely pair pursue drug runners into the jungles of Burma, they head for a collision course with the elusive Tiger and his private army of mercenaries, resulting in an action-packed take 'em down tight if to the finish. So there's that one. And then there's the other one that I've already sent Jason, but I'll have to get it around to everybody else. And it's called What Comes Around. What Comes Around, 1986. Will Oldham, yeah. So it's starring Jerry Reed and Bo Hopkins. Joe Hawkins is not in good spirits. A longtime drug abuser and alcoholic, he sobers up with help from his brother Tom. When Joe discovers that his manager, Leon Ridden, has cheated him out of $8 million over the years, Joe, Tom, and a few friends set out to show Leon that karma is a mother.
Ooh. And they kidnap his kid, don't they?
And what goes around comes around. Written by Kyle Polkowski.
What year?
1986.
That's my vote right there.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll make it easy.
I like
for Jason. It's because he already has it. So I'll get it to you guys.
All right.
Shortly. and Jason just informed me that the cover of the movie paints a different picture. Which I'm sure it does. It probably doesn't go into as much detail, and that's why at first I thought it was a drama, but this is apparently some sort of comedy. There's a trailer out there. Like I say, I'll post it up, and you can watch it in all its low quality glory, and so. Hope you have a pleasant week, and please join Buckflix.tk, Buckflix.blogspot.com, at Buckflix on Twitter, and you can follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook, Buckflix. Just search for Buckflix.
What is it?
BUCKFLIX.
Nice.
Buckflix. Bye.
I'm sad because my goat just died today. I'm sad. My goat just fell in the hay. Hey, we're all sad. The goat just died today. Oh, 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 oh. We're sad enough to cry. Hi, hi, hi. instead, the goat just died tonight. We're sad, his funeral though will be out of sight. We're so sad, but in a way we're happy he didn't suffer too much. He only got the cramps once. Sad, oh, the piece of poop wouldn't come out of his belly. Sad, we had to call Doc Nelly. We're sad.